So in 1976, you began your ministry.
Right.
When all of that was happening back then, there's no way you had any idea where God would take it today.
Right.
But let's start with, what was that seed that began it all for you? How did you know that God had something for you to do that was different than you ever expected?
You know, people ask all the time, how do you know when God is calling you to do something? And it may sound like a lame answer, but you just know. I mean, you know. It's like God puts such a strong desire in your heart. It's almost like you're captivated by it and you couldn't hardly do anything else.
Captivated, that's a good word.
Yeah. And I had had a real touch from God, and I won't even go into trying to explain that. It's just, you know, when you know that God has touched you, you know. I mean, I really felt a strong sensing of God's presence, and I became more interested in the Word as a result of that. And then the more I listened to the Word, the more I was amazed at what people who are really anointed to teach were getting out of the Word. I had heard the Word, of course, in church, but little bits and pieces of it, and not in the way that I was hearing it now. And probably part of that was just me. You know, when God awakens you to His presence, then everything begins to be a lot more meaningful to you. And I was listening to what was then a cassette teaching tape, and it was 60 minutes long, and it was on the scripture in Mark, cross over to the other side. And I was just amazed that anybody could get a whole hour of teaching out of one verse and keep my interest. And it was about when Jesus said to the disciples, he got in the boats and crossed over to the other side. And then in the midst of that journey, a storm of hurricane proportions arose. And it just so related to my everyday life that, you know, you start to do something and then you have these storms in life. And so often in those storms, then we give up. So at the end of that teaching, I was actually making my bed, just doing housework. At that point, I had three children, and Dave had gone off to work that day, worked in the engineering field. And I just sensed God speaking in my heart or putting a desire in my heart, you know, to teach the Word. And I felt that this dream came to me that I was going to go all over the world and teach the Word, which, of course, was in the natural, totally ridiculous. And so many times when God does speak something to us or He calls us to do something, to the natural mind, it is ridiculous. But truly, with God, all things are possible. And I've actually been meditating even this week on Ephesians 3:20, where that says that God can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could ever dare to hope, ask, or think through His power that works in us. And so God does great things, but He does them through people. He works with people. And I had no idea before that of ever teaching the Word or doing anything like that. And I started a Bible study, and that's kind of the way it began. I always like to share with people that, you know, we did those Bible studies for 5 years, not 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 weeks, but 5 long years of doing that. And I studied so hard to teach back then, which was right because I really didn't know anything. I hadn't been to Bible school. I didn't know anything about preaching. Nobody's ever taught me how to put together a sermon. I mean, I can truly say that what I'm doing, I have been led by the Holy Spirit.
God really taught you how to do what you're doing.
Right. And then, you know, as Dave was saying, I started this Bible study, and it first started as a result of the place where I worked. And so I invited these 12 ladies that worked for me. I was the office manager, to come to this Bible study. And I didn't know how to teach the Bible. I mean, I remember when God put that on my heart, I went to my pastor and I said, if somebody was going to teach a Bible study, where would they start? And what kind of books would you use? And he recommended a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and he recommended starting in the book of John. And so those were my tools. And that was where I started, John chapter 1, verse 1.
how many people that are listening right now mm-hmm. are exactly where you are. They just want to serve God. They're doing that Bible study faithfully, and God honors that.
Yeah. And, you know, somewhere in the midst of that, I had quit my full-time job at God's direction to have time to study, to prepare for this ministry that I felt like I was going to have. I always had a sensing the ministry was going to be quite large. But you never know at that time if that's just your imagination, a pipe dream, what you want, or if it's really going to happen. However, like I said, when God does captivate your heart with something, it's almost kind of hard not to believe it. You know, your mind will tell you that's crazy, or the devil speaking to your mind will tell you that's crazy. But I wanted to be prepared, and I wasn't prepared. I didn't know that much. And so I would spend a lot of time studying. And I usually studied things that I was having problems with. And so I really didn't run out of material because I had a lot of problems, you know, with a lot of things.
Well, and that's why it's so practical. That's why it applies to people.
I certainly would in the natural wouldn't have seemed like Bible teacher material, would I?
No. In the natural, you wouldn't, but you always had the gift to teach. No matter what, from the very beginning, she had the gift to teach. And I recognize that. But God kept her isolated because she was dealing with all these internal problems, you know. While she was teaching, she was learning through the Word how to deal with these problems, how to grow and deal with these problems. And then she was teaching to the people, the things that she encountered, she would teach to the people. And, you know, of course, we passed up one of the areas where she taught in short shorts when she first started out and smoked all the time. You know, we both smoked. And finally, it came to a point, you know, when we first started for, I guess it was maybe the first 4 weeks or something like that, and I thought, this is not right. Her teaching in short shorts, and I said, I don't think you should be teaching in short shorts. And so, anyway, we changed that.
Finally, I just didn't know any better.
Got past that point.
They really were wonderful, wonderful days for us. They were days of learning, days of sharing. You know, Ginger, one of the examples that I've used in the last couple of years in teaching that I think is a great example is, if you think about what does it look like when God puts a dream or a vision in your heart, whether it's to minister or buy a new house or to be married or get a certain level of education, you always see the finished product. That's what you see. And so you have a tendency to think that you're just going to move right into that. And it comes in pieces. And so I've used the example of getting like a 5,000-piece puzzle. I've got this big puzzle I use, and it's got this beautiful picture on the front of it. So when you go to buy a puzzle, you buy it because you like the picture. It's kind of like having a vision from God.
Right.
But then when you dump all those pieces out on the table, it's like, oh my, what in the world have I gotten into? And in the process, it takes a long time to get all the pieces in the right place. And, you know, sometimes you'll even try to put a piece in a place where it doesn't fit. And so,
did you have some of that?
Oh,
did you try some things that just weren't right?
So many things, you know, you feel all these things, and sometimes you get ahead of yourself. And
one of the things that happened during that period of time, which was so valuable for the future, was we grew in faith in that time because that we were $40 short, you know, each month of paying our bills. Well, whether you're $40 short or $5,000 short, you're short, so you can't pay your bills unless God miraculously takes care of them. And so we learned during that period of time, eventually we learned that God was going to take care of it no matter what the situation was. And it wasn't to take for granted that he was going to do that, because you always knew that you were $40 short, but you saw him. And so it was a working experience of learning that faith in God always, he always delivered.
Every month the bills were paid.
Amazing.
Yeah. Which is a foundation of the ministry today that he taught you.
No doubt.
How to handle those finances and really set up that premise that you've never borrowed any money for the ministry, that you've always paid for what you got.
Yeah.
And that says so much about who this ministry is today.
That's more in the wisdom area, that area. But the faith area was the area that, hey, we're short, and the only way that's going to happen is God's got to come through.
I mean, we had no way to get it unless God brought it. And it was something different. I mean, sometimes somebody would, you know, say, oh, here, I felt like God told me to give you $20, or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a relative would come to visit and stay with us for a week, and they'd leave a $50 bill for groceries after they left, or maybe we'd get a refund on something we weren't expecting. I mean, it was really amazing to watch God work during that period of time. You know, those 5 years were really foundation laying years.
And healing for you too, right?
And healing. Oh, yeah. You know, I was going through a lot. I mean, Dave and I were arguing all the time. And, you know, Dave probably didn't get mad, but I got mad all the time. And, you know, just a lot of the stories that I tell that people laugh so hard about now, you know. And then another very important stage of our journey, and I think it is important for people to realize that everything you do, including life, is a journey. And you have seasons, and you have stages of growth, and you have dormant seasons, and you have planting seasons, and you have harvest seasons, and you have seasons of digging up fallow ground. And so there's a lot of different seasons in our life, and we have to learn how to navigate all of those. And so one of the seasons that was very, very important was at toward the end of this 5 years. First of all, I felt like at first God wanted us to have another baby. And we had at that time a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 14-year-old. And so obviously our children were old enough then that we could go out and do things. We didn't always have to have a babysitter. And I just started getting this real desire to have a baby.
And I said, are you sure?
Yeah, Dave's like, are you kidding? Well, you know, sure you want to start all over? And I said, yeah, I really do. And of course, you know, Dave,
I got on board.
He's easy going. He's just like, okay, if that's what you want. And
sure glad I did too.
That's when we had Danny, because now he oversees all this TV and the media and all the operational side of the ministry. And our other son, David, oversees all the world missions. And so now I think, my gosh, it's a good thing I listened to God, because we didn't know really everything that the future held. But it is important to realize that at the time that I started all this, I had 3 teenagers and a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so...
Mm-hmm. Talking about challenging.
Yeah, I don't really care for it when people say, well, you know, I can't do anything. I've got kids you know, I've got a baby. It's amazing how desire overrides everything else. All the impossibilities just seem to fade away when you have a strong enough desire to do something. And so I felt like that God had put on my heart it was time to stop the Bible study. And the word I got was, behold, I do a new thing. Well, I felt for sure it's time for my promotion, man. Something great's going to happen now. And so for 1 year, nothing happened. And that was a very testing, confusing year for me. I didn't understand, well, what is going on? Is God finished with me now? Did I make a mistake in stopping? But so many things we don't understand until after we've walked through them. Mm-hmm. I always like to say that we live life forward, but we only understand it backward.
Right.
And I can look back now and I realize that during that year, God really taught me the importance, or he started teaching me, it's not that I didn't have any more to learn about it, of just being yourself. And because I was insecure from all the abuse in my life, I didn't like who I was. So I was always trying to be somebody else, whether it was my pastor's wife or more like Dave, or, you know, my pastor's wife was sweet and, you know, I had this rough exterior, and or my neighbor next door was very homemaker, you know, sewed her family's clothes, had a garden. And so during that year, it was like I tried to have a garden. I tried to make my family's clothes. I mean, it's like I tried all these things that God was not anointing me for.
You tried everybody else on.
She actually did not have the garden. I had the garden. I dug the garden up.
She probably thought she had it to start.
Well, it was my garden.
And then she was going to can them with our next door neighbor. And that's a story in itself. That was hilarious. And then she did sew a pair of shorts for me, and that was a disaster. And a shirt. She sewed the shirt inside out.
I hemmed the sleeves wrong.
Hemmed it wrong, and then the shorts had pockets longer than the shorts. And so...
So now you're the one in short shorts.
Yeah, now you're the one in short shorts.
I said, No, I cut the pockets out. Cut the pockets out. And I should have kept the shorts. I burned them.
I remember later. They were gray with dark gray
yeah.
piping around the yeah. the edges. But the,
piping, that's fancy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But the whole garden story is hilarious. I tell that a lot
yeah.
in conferences where just when these tomatoes were just ready to pick and can. I mean, I had all my equipment, you know. This was this big plan. I went out to look at the tomatoes the morning we were going to harvest them, and a bunch of black bugs had, well, I don't know if the bugs were black, but the holes were black. They had eaten these big holes in the tomatoes, and so they were just basically destroyed. And so I quick called my neighbor who lived right next door. I mean, I could have thrown a rock and hit her house. And I said, oh, my gosh, our tomatoes are destroyed. Bugs got in them. They got big holes in them. And so she went out and looked at hers and called me back and said, there's nothing wrong with mine. They're totally fine. And so, of course, right away I started complaining to God. Well, you know, why did my tomatoes get holes in them and her tomatoes are still healthy? And, I mean, honestly, I heard God so clearly say, I never told you to grow tomatoes. Therefore, I have no obligation to protect your tomatoes. And what a lesson there is in that. How yeah. many people get so frustrated because they're trying to do what somebody else does. And it works for that somebody else because it's right for them, but it doesn't work yeah. for you. And you don't understand. You feel like God is blocking you from success. And thankfully he does, because we'd spend our lives doing things that's not what God wants us to do. And so during that year of doing nothing, I actually was learning the importance of not trying to be everybody else. And that was really important for where God wanted to take us, because he didn't want us to copy somebody else and go do what they were doing.
Right.
When you began ministry, 1976 and the years that followed, mm-hmm. what was expected of women then mm-hmm. was very different than yeah. what God was calling you to do. How did you deal with that?
Well, when I started it, I wasn't even cognizant of the fact that women didn't normally do that. I mean, I was just so caught up in what I felt like God was telling me to do, and it was being successful. And, you know, I always teasing to say, I didn't know women couldn't teach till people started telling me that they couldn't.
Right.
And so in this church that we were going to, they felt like that I wasn't supposed to be teaching, that Dave should be mm-hmm. teaching. I remember going out of the church one Sunday and the pastor looking at Dave and he said, brother, you should be teaching that Bible study, not your wife.
And what did you think when he said that? I mean, how did you
feel?
Well,
I mean, at the same time him saying it, I'm thinking, why did God not give me the gift? Why did he give it to her? You know, and so I've got that in me a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I'm going to do it. You know, and so I tried and it didn't work. Just, I didn't have the ability to teach. And so
I always say for a couple of weeks, Dave tried to talk and I tried not to, and neither one worked.
Sure.
I wasn't good at not talking.
And so we continued to have the Bible study and eventually left that church and went to what was Life Christian Center.
Is this still at that point where you're questioning, what does God have for me now? Because you're in that year where it's been quiet, I guess, where
yeah.
you didn't know what was coming next.
I still felt like God wanted to use me. I mean, I still felt like I still had this dream. I was still studying. We were still struggling financially. I was confused. All the things that that people go through. And so they asked me if I wanted to start a women's Bible study at this church. And I really didn't want to start a women's Bible study, because I specifically felt like that God had given me a scripture in Philippians 2 that I was to hold out to all men the Word of God. So I never really felt called just to teach women. I really felt like that the same Word was for everybody, and that I was going to teach everybody, not just women. And so at first I wasn't going to do the Bible study, and then I remember thinking, well, God's not opening up anything else, and this is opened up, so I probably should take the opportunity. And they advertised it a little bit, and I mean, this was just a miracle from God. The first one that we had was on a Thursday morning at what Dave calls the little church in the valley, yeah. which it was just a little tiny
little
building.
Tiny church.
And 115 people came. Hmm. And it was like, where did all these people come from? And it was the start of something pretty major. And it was just God. It was it was that promotion from God, the 5 years of the Bible study, the year of doing nothing. And, you know, those are like hanging on years and holding on years. Those are times when Jesus has said, let's cross over to the other side. And now you're in the hurricane type storm. And it feels to you like Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat and you don't know what's going on. But then you still have this strong thing in your heart.
So during this time, I'm still in the engineering field. And they start having lots of meetings at this church. And they have camp meetings. And
week long,
and we are going to church a lot. I mean,
I'm
going to work and I'm coming home. We're going to church and going to work, coming home, going to church, and it's a continuous thing for a long period of time.
I want to ask you a question about that too, because Joyce talked about God calling her and her having that strong desire. Mm-hmm. God obviously called you too. Mm-hmm. This is your ministry together. Mm-hmm. How did you begin to see your role in this? You've been told it should be you and not her.
Yeah.
How did you begin to see what God really had called you to do in all of this?
Well, I fought with it for a little while, and then I realized that, and God really impressed upon my heart that if you want my joy, my peace, and my grace, then you have to do what I've called you to do. And so I began to realize that that was not the thing that I would be doing. But yet I told the guys in the engineering field that I would not always be here working in the engineering field. Eventually I was going to be in ministry. And I didn't know exactly what aspect of ministry I was going to be in, but I told them that. And actually when I left the engineering company and began, this is further down the road, but just to give a little prefix here, the guy said, "You know how long you've been saying it?" And I said, "No." He said, 7 years. I said,
wow.
"Whoa, that's good." I said, "That's God's perfect number, 7 years." So anyway, we'll go back to this now. So we're on Gravois and McKenzie, and I don't know what my definition for in the ministry is going to be.
Yeah,
so
he's
I'm still on the sidelines, so to speak, and God's got me there, and I know I'm not supposed to be doing anything yet because the ministry, our aspect of the ministry hadn't started yet. We were still working.
And our income came from Dave. You know, I was teaching this Bible study, but they gave me a very small, I don't know, I think I initially got like $65 a week, you know. And so I did that for a long, long time, and then after a while they asked me if I wanted to come on staff at the church. And the Bible study was growing. It was like 300 and then 400 and then 450, and it actually got up to about 500 women every Thursday morning. So it was, you know, quite a
substantial
kind of the talk of the town in Christendom. And there was a real move of the Spirit back then too. It was like people were being touched by God in every denomination. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had Catholics, Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, mm-hmm. Pentecostals. I mean, just all kinds people were coming.
And they were filtering through the ministry that God called her to, through that into the church.
So it was helping
the church grow.
The church and grew on its own, but that was helping
too.
I remember we were driving in there
for the
dedication service of the new building,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
God spoke to my heart and said, I'm finished with you here now.
Right.
And I thought,
Was that a shock for you? Were you?
Well, I was kind of insulted. I thought, you know, you're finished with me. I mean, I helped build this church.
What if I don't feel finished?
God was trying to promote her, and she was insulted.
But the thing was, it's so interesting how we are as human beings. It's like, I wasn't satisfied anymore. I felt like God was calling me to something else. So it's like, I wanted to do more, but I wanted to do it through that avenue.
Right.
And that just wasn't going to work. You know, I mean, I remember even going to the pastor and saying, you know, can I go on another radio station? Can I write a book? And you know, he was just like, you know, you work for me and you've got to be part of this vision. And you know, so finally I just...
So you were on radio at this time?
One station.
One station.
Okay.
One church. The church put her on radio.
He was on radio.
Rick put her on.
And the slot next to him opened up.
Yeah.
And so I think he kind of wanted to keep the whole slot for the church, so he asked me if I wanted to do it. So I was on, I started on WCBW 1 15-minute radio slot once a week.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of my great media ministry. And
so then we God said, I'm finished with you here. And so
I still didn't get finished for a little while.
So, yeah, because she had soul ties, and she really didn't recognize that it was soul ties until somebody, she asked somebody or somebody informed her that, you know, why are you wanting to go back to the church?
And so when you say soul ties,
soul
like
ties,
an emotional connection?
Yes,
that
she had, you know, she had, like she said, she had her own seat, her own office, her own little plaque that
life
said Joyce
good.
Meyer, you know, and her own parking place. And so that, you know, and all the people that she worked with there, you know, that was, you know, kind of pulling her back.
So God was telling us to leave.
He was telling us to leave.
But
I was too. I was saying, you know, we can't go back. We've got to go do what God's calling us to do now.
But you're talking about leaving your comfort zone, leaving your security.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. That's what was
and
happening.
I really felt like that God had, well, I probably need to back up a little bit. You know, it was like I kept getting more and more miserable, and I was less and less interested in the meetings at the church and the business meetings, the things I used to love. It was like now it was just like, oh, my gosh.
Isn't that interesting how that changes?
Mm-hmm.
What we used to love is no longer as important to us because God is taking us somewhere different.
He's no longer in it. So.
And I didn't realize what it was, but God was withdrawing the grace for me to be there. And it was just basically time for me to leave. I had done what he wanted me to do there. I had learned what he wanted me to learn there, and I learned a lot there. So I went home and started a fast. I always joke and say I decided I was going to fast on water till I heard from God, and he spoke to me in an hour, and I sure was glad. And I actually saw. I don't know how you see words, but I mean, I clearly saw that I was to take the ministry and go north, south, east, and west. Mm-hmm. And I got so excited.
Then we began to start meetings in different places, like we did. We did meetings at
North, South, East, and West.
Shalady
North St.
Pair,
Louis, East St. Louis, South
Shalady
St. Louis.
Pair, yeah, on different days of the week and different weeks of the month, you know.
Man, that was crazy.
I mean,
we had the craziest
Thursday, we were here. The second Wednesday, we were here.
First Monday, we were here.
Tuesday, we were here. Belleville, we did Belleville, Illinois, which was our East meeting. We did that every week. We went there
every Tuesday morning,
for years,
every Thursday morning,
for years,
we every Wednesday night somewhere else.
And while we were going and doing these meetings, well, what the income that came in from those meetings, I began to buy radio stations.
Well, you were still working. You're getting ahead of yourself.
Well, yeah, okay. But those meetings lasted started, and we had the meetings. And I was in the engineering field, and then things started to get pretty overwhelming because
for me,
we had a few people working for us. We had finished. We didn't even know. We finished the lower level of our house off, the basement of our house off, and we didn't know that all of a sudden the ministry was going to take over our house, the lower level of our house. But we moved the ministry into what was Danny's room originally, and then it moved into our family room downstairs, our family room, and then it moved into our bedroom downstairs. The tape duplication.
That is overtaking your
moved
life.
Moved into our bedroom downstairs, and during this period of time, I'm still in the engineering field, and
so you're working.
I'm working,
you're raising
but
kids.
Yeah,
I'm running all over
family.
The place.
I'm
I've got a
back
baby.
Home.
I've got teenagers.
I'm coming back home, and you know, I'm involved, but I'm not involved full time. And then Joyce is saying, "This is overwhelming. I can't handle this," you know. And so, I finally told her I'm going to quit in 6 months. And so finally, we got to that 6 months point, and that's when the guy told me, you know, you've been saying this for 7 years, and you're finally doing it. And so the first day I start in the ministry, the first day I say, okay, what do you want me to do?
He came downstairs and sat down at his desk and said, what do you want me to do? And so we taught him how to do payroll.
So
that was
payroll.
The first thing.
I did payroll at first. And
and how many employees did you have at this point?
Oh, maybe five.
Five or six.
Know.
And
five
they
or
started
six.
Helping you with mail and things like that?
Mail, and just we had a guy that did the radio program, and that was in a closet. That was actually our son's bedroom closet where we did our...
Any calls.
That was your studio.
That was our studio.
And the calls would come in. The calls would come in there. You know.
And we had phones all over the house, and so I always say it sounded like a bookie joint or something when the phone would ring, because it would ring everywhere, you know. And we had one girl that opened mail and one girl that duplicated the cassette tapes, and I don't know if they all even worked full time, but they all had their little job.
Our employees, they parked in different parts of the street, you know, so it didn't look so suspicious. And they'd come down with their little brown bags, you know, lunch bags, and come into our house. And it's like people are thinking, okay, what are you doing over there?
Because parking in the neighborhood.
Yeah, in the neighborhood. And coming down, and they worked in our house, you know, for, I don't know how long.
Boy, the first time we decided that we were going to go rent some office space, I mean, that was like a huge step of faith, you know. And, I mean, everything was a huge step of faith. When Dave quit his job.
Yeah.
I mean, I still remember he was making $32,000 a year.
$34,000
a year. And so we're like, I mean, that you can imagine. I mean, we needed that to live on.
Yeah.
So God had to do something. And our income increased.
The first month.
Coming in from the ministry, the first month, that amount of money.
That is miraculous.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't all come in, but it was like month after month in a year.
Right. Yeah.
It came to that. And really, we had a little letter that we sent out once a month, you know, telling people where we were going to be, and you had the income from the teaching tapes and, you know, what little bit came in from the radio. And, you know, we were still just barely getting by. And, I mean, some of these people that work for us, they made $50 a week and, you know, $60 a week. And, I mean, just barely.
So then we went to, we're looking for space. And so we would go to the Biltmore 300, and they've got 1,700 square feet of space. Well, for us, 1,700 square feet of space looked like, man, that looked like a monster's space. And so,
we walked around in that, and I said,
whoa,
what
this
are
is
we
amazing.
Supposed to do with this?
This is amazing. And so we were starting to do conferences like further out. Like we'd go to Quincy, Illinois. We'd go to Cape Girardeau. We'd go to Kansas City.
Anywhere we could drive
we'd
to
go up
where
to
we
Mount,
were on
we'd
radio.
Go up to Mount Vernon, anywhere within a certain radius, you know, to where we couldn't go, didn't need to go that far. And
I answered all the mail back then. I would sit in my office with a little typewriter and answer all the mail.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I would set up all the conferences. So I was doing the conferences. I was doing for back then. Somebody else was doing the payroll.
Yeah.
I was doing the conferences and I was buying all the radio time. I was contacting all the managers in the beginning stages.
So that was growing. There were more radio stations.
Well, we had meetings of 100 people, 70 people, 150 people. Yeah, I mean, you can look in my journals from back then, and I just believe in God that anybody would come, and scared out of my wits half the time that nobody would come. And I mean, you talk about a journey of faith, and everything from the finances we needed to the people coming to God providing the employees we needed. It was just.
Well, we needed, we needed to get on radio stations, and so we were on one radio station, WCBW, and then we needed to buy other radio stations, and so I bought a pack of 6 radio stations. I didn't know how good these radio stations were. Well, fortunately, a couple of them were pretty good. The one was a sister station.
He didn't buy the stations. He bought time on the stations.
The time on the stations through the station managers. Well, as time went by, I began to learn how to research stations. And one of the ways that I researched stations was I got other ministries that were on radio, their magazines, and found out what stations they were on and how long they were on them. And so if they were on them a long period of time, I knew they were probably pretty good stations
to be
on.
Yeah, that's pretty wise.
Yeah, and so I started, and I got to know all the managers and talk with all the managers. And if a station didn't produce within a certain amount of time, then I would, in the beginning stages, it was very difficult to get on a station because nobody knew Joyce. And so I had to send them demo tapes, and, you know, they'd just put them on their desk. They wouldn't play them, and every once in a while, I'd be able to get on a station. Well, if I got on a station, you know, it was great, you know, the station that I wanted to get on. And so eventually it started, word got around that she was a good teacher. And so it was easier to get on the station. So, you know, then I could call stations and get on them.
Or if he'd say, well, you know, we're on this station. Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, yeah. If you're on there.
So right. Yeah. And so it was easier to get on stations. And so so we grew all the way up to 150 stations. And you know, during that period yeah. of time.
All we did was work. We didn't do anything else but work. We worked. We were out every night doing a meeting somewhere. We were
setting up
in the office all day. And you might wonder where our kids are at during all this time. So just for the sake of people listening, I don't want everybody to think we just abandoned our kids and ignored them. You know, we still took good care of our children. Yeah. Three of them were in high school. One of them had graduated and he went off to Bible school in Florida. And then he eventually came back to work with us. And we had our little boy who, you know, we talked about was the baby earlier, and he went to school at one of the Christian schools, and so I'd get him up in the morning, get him dressed, take him to school, go pick him up after school, do homework, go to, you know.
So you're still in the midst of life with all of
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
And then doing what everybody does.
And yeah. when we were traveling, we did have somebody that offered to help with our kids, but right. we didn't travel for long periods of time. Then we'd go out and come back or be gone right. 2 days and come back. Yeah. And then we took him with us a lot, as much as we could.
A lot of our trips were one day. We'd go out, yeah. we'd do the meeting, and we'd come back that same
right.
night.
Yeah.
You know, do the meeting that yeah. evening and drive back that same night, which was long days. I mean, you were tired when you got back.
And so as all this is growing, and you're watching God really, really feeding this, mm-hmm. were you always in agreement? Was it always...
No, not necessarily.
Well,
I would think there would be some...
Yeah.
Big decisions to be made.
There was a really a good flow to it because she did things in the ministry and I did things in the ministry and you know I was setting up all the conferences. I was all the hotel ballrooms. I had to call the hotels and make sure that we had the ballrooms and a lot of times when you know I mean we couldn't fly to these places or drive to these places, so we'd have to somehow find out what were the best hotels to...
We couldn't go see them ahead of time, so we...
And once in a while, we'd get a hotel that the shingles were falling off or the roof or
we had some awful places.
One where the air conditioning wasn't working and the guy was in the middle of the meeting. He was climbing up in a ceiling, which was about 20 feet high, you know, trying to fix the air conditioning. And one where it was raining and water was coming down by the curtain where she was teaching. It was just a lot of wild.
A lot of
things.
Excitement.
Yeah. We had hundreds and hundreds of meetings that were between 100 and 200 people.
Yeah.
You know, I was so busy teaching and studying to teach that between that and I probably dealt with most of the people issues in the office. So dealing with all that, hiring, firing, organization, that kind of stuff. And he was pretty busy with the radio and all the
logistics,
setting up
everything,
the logistics everything. And the
buying all the equipment, buying everything that we needed. Everything that we bought over the years, everything we bought when I was in charge was I would not allow a department to have a budget. Because I didn't want a bunch of bells and whistles. I wanted to buy things that we actually needed and so that we would use the money wisely.
And we saved and paid cash.
So we had requisitions. Yeah. They would present me with requisitions, and I would determine, do we really need this? You know. And so during that period of time, it kept us, you know, to where we would not, you know, waste money. And so, you know, God really blessed.
When it was smaller, he could do that. Yeah, I mean, nothing was spent that he didn't put his initials on it. And
then there was times where I even had to stop spending, period, because if it looked like we were getting ahead of ourselves to where we weren't going to have the finances, I wasn't going to allow that to happen. So I would stop spending, period, for a period of time until we got caught up.
When did God give you those basic tenets of what the ministry needed to be all about, that if you would stay faithful in these areas that he would bless
you? In the very beginning, just after I left my job at Life Christian Center, I mean, I so clearly remember God put it in my heart, if you will, three things I'm going to tell you, and if you do them, I'll be able to bless you. Keep the strife out of your life, which even meant really at home. I mean, Dave and I early on learned that we couldn't fight behind the scenes and be having trouble and expect things to be good out in public. You know, it just, mm-hmm. that doesn't work. I mean, your life is a whole, and you can't be one thing here and something else
right.
somewhere else. And do what you do with excellence, which I, it's interesting that God said that to me, because it was not any, it wasn't anything that I'd ever pondered or thought about, you know, but do what you do with excellence. And that's not extravagance, but it does mean to do the best you can in everything that you do. And then be a person of integrity. Don't play games with the money that passes through your hands. Mm-hmm. And always do what you tell people that you're going to do. And, you know, those things are not always easy to do. You know, you have to, it was a good thing that God did speak those to us so clearly, because even just keeping the strife out of your life, you know, sometimes you feel more like arguing than you do having peace. And yet, to be faithful to that word that God spoke, we knew we needed to stay in peace.
You knew the price of it. We knew the price of anything like that. And that's not to say it didn't ever happen. But if it did happen, you learned your lesson and, you know, the consequences of it. And, mm-hmm. you know, especially with Joyce, you know, when she was teaching, she just, it would affect the anointing. And so,
no, I just couldn't.
So yeah. she, you know, that could not happen, you know.
Well, and we have seen so many teachers, preachers have integrity issues. Mm-hmm. We see so many people be one thing in the pulpit and another thing mm-hmm. somewhere else.
Right.
And we know that that's not what God wants for right. any of us in our lives, no matter what we are, no matter who we deal with. But those things in your life have really been building blocks for the ministry and so many reasons that God has blessed the way that
I can
he has.
Honestly say that Dave and I both have a healthy, reverential fear of God. Which is something the Bible says is the beginning of all wisdom. I don't mean like afraid of God in a wrong way, but I do know that God is God and that he means what he says. Mm-hmm. And I'm also very aware that everything that we're doing is totally dependent on God. And I mean, he could, trust me, it takes a lot longer to build something than it can take to come down if God doesn't keep supporting it.
And come down, you know, get strong, grow strong real fast, and then fall down.
Yeah.
And that's a lesson in itself. I mean, that teaches you know, God's in control, and do things His way, and He'll bless you. Don't do things His way, and you're in trouble. You're living dangerously, and so.
And you know, I thank God that we grew. I didn't thank God while we were growing so slowly. Mm-hmm. That was very hard. But I look back now, I'm thankful that God didn't let me do what I wanted to when I wanted to do it. Because although I had a gift, I was still very much in need of developing more godly character. And that's where a lot of people do make a mistake. They get an opening to go out and do something because they're gifted. And, you know, as leaders, we can even be guilty of putting somebody in a position long before they're ready for it spiritually. And it really is just like a disaster mm-hmm. waiting to happen. And so it took a long time. I mean, a long time and a lot of hard work. Next, coming up here pretty soon, I will have been teaching the word 40 years. So the things we're talking about happened 40 years ago and 35 years ago and 30 years ago. And it's just like, I mean, we could sit here and talk for months and months and months about all the different things that happened and the challenges and the good times and the scary times and the joyous times and raising kids in the midst of all this. And it's been a wonderful journey, and yet at the same time, a very challenging one.
I think a lot, you know, my motto was slow and solid, fast and fragile. God gave me that years and years ago. And I think many people would look at our ministry and say it's been phenomenally fast growth. And they only see, you know, the explosive growth the years after we went on television. They don't see the pre-years or the foundational years that created the foundation for the ministry to stand on. And if people have been in ministry 40 years and they haven't had growth like that, then it looks like explosive growth. And you know, God's got a different plan for everybody. And so we were blessed to be doing what we're doing, and so we don't take it for granted. And one of the things that we said in the very beginning was, we don't want our ministry to be cloned after somebody else's ministry. We want it to be what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. We want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Let Him show us exactly what we do, what we're supposed to do. We didn't know what all that meant, but He did. Over the years, He would show us this, show us that, show us something else, and all of it put together.
So you're getting more and more people at your meetings. They're growing. You're traveling further and further out. Mm-hmm. You're on radio.
Yeah.
When did you begin to think television is the next logical step?
Well, our meetings had grown from 200 to 400 to 500 to 700. And finally in Tulsa, we had a meeting while we're on radio of 1,000 people. And I mean, that was amazing for us to have a meeting with 1,000 people. We had never had anything like that. And during this time, we had a bright idea of going on television. And we thought, we're going to go on television. And so we went on some charter stations, and, you know, they had a studio where we could do the filming. And it was a situation where Joyce was going to ask questions, and the first television program was going to be on fear, where she was going to ask questions of people, actually people from our ministry, and they were going to share on, you know, how they experienced fear and how they dealt with fear. Well, Joyce would ask the questions, and then she'd answer the questions. And the people just sat there. They didn't do nothing. Hardly.
I wasn't very good at interviewing.
And so, obviously, that did not go over big, and it was a bright idea. It wasn't
In six
really
months,
God.
We got one piece of mail.
Yeah. It wasn't God telling us to go on television. We just had a bright idea, and we thought we'd do it. And obviously, it didn't work.
Well, we were probably starting to sense something from God, but just got way ahead of the timing.
Definitely got way ahead of the timing. And then we're having meetings at a place called Two Hearts Banquet Center in St. Louis, and that grew to about 400 people. And I'm thinking, these meetings are getting big, and Joyce, the teachings are tremendous teachings, but they're gone forever. If nobody can see them, you know, they're gone
forever. We were getting
forever.
Them on cassette. But.
And so, we were recording them, but we didn't have any video. And so I went out and bought a camera. I decided I'm going to go out and buy a camera. And I spent a pretty good sizable amount of money to buy a camera. And usually when we bought something like that, Joyce and I discussed it. But I thought, you know, I got to get this camera. And so she was doing something, and I needed to get it right away. And so I got the camera, and I told her, and she said, why did you do that?
I got aggravated at
it. I said, why did you do that? And I said, what you're teaching is gone forever if we don't capture it on.
We didn't even have anybody to run the camera. We didn't even know what we were going to do with it.
And so we did.
But you had a camera.
Well, we had a camera.
We had somebody from Life Christian Center came over and
volunteered
to
run it.
Volunteered to run it. And little did I know what God was up to. 3 weeks later, I'm in the bathroom getting ready to go to the office. And all of a sudden, the Lord opens up my heart to sense the hurts of the world, I guess, the way he was sensed a little bit. And I'm sobbing. I'm just, you know.
Just out of the blue.
Out of the blue. I mean, just out of the blue. I'm getting ready to go to the office. And I'm sobbing. And I'm thinking. And God says, I prepared you all this time to go on television. And, you know, it's like a vision. And you know, he's speaking to me inside. And I'm thinking, television, there's no way we can go on television. It's cost too much. There's no way we can do that. And I see this hand on a spigot, and he said, if I turn this off, you can't even do what you're doing now. But if I turn it up, you can do everything that I ask you to do. And I'm thinking, God's going to provide for it. And so I realized that God's going to provide for it. And so I told, she came in the bathroom, and I told her, I said, I need to talk to you. And she said, can we do this later? I need to go to the office. I said, no, we need to talk now. And I said, God has told me we need to go on television, and we need to do it. And she bore witness. I shared with her everything that had happened to me. And so that's when we decided we're going to go on television.
Yeah.
And she bore witness with it. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't know how we were going to get the money, so we decided, well, we're going to send out. We had a mailing list of 70,000 people at that time, and we thought, well, we'll send out to our mailing list. We figured we'd need $500,000 to start. That's the only way we could start, because we needed to build a studio. We needed to, you know, do different things, and we needed to have another camera. And so we sent out to our mailing list, and exactly $500,000 came in. And so, you know, we didn't even know we needed a producer at that time. We were so ignorant of what we were supposed to do and how we were supposed to do it. But God led us step by step, introduced us to people, and finally we learned, you know, we need a producer, we learned we need to do this, we need to do this. And the first television program that we filmed, it was so primitive that you think, how in the world would anybody even watch this? You know, because it looked like we had a shower. Well, it was a shower curtain.
Blue shower curtain behind
Joyce. And we were in this room where they had sprayed insulation and it was falling off the ceiling. The sprayed insulation was hanging down and falling off the ceiling.
One camera.
And we shot this. We bought 10 stations. And we decided to go on weekly at first. That's the only thing we could afford, so we decided to go on weekly. And we did that for about 6 months, and we thought, it's doing good. It's doing all right. And Joy said, well, why don't we go on daily on some of these stations? So we said, okay, we're going to go on daily on some of these stations. So we did. And when we did that, it had just exploded. Hmm. And within a month or 2 months, every station that we went on paid for itself and was surplus. So we could go on more stations. And we were just buying up time like crazy and going on stations, and the mail and the response was overwhelming. And so this was the beginning of the television ministry, and it was just beyond anything we could ever expect.
Up to today where you're reaching two-thirds of the world, many potential people. And we hear stories every day of people whose lives have been completely turned around, hearing his word through your teaching. When you look at those 40 years that are behind you and what you're seeing today, does the gratitude just overflow? Do you just feel overwhelmed sometimes?
He actually isolates us from seeing the greatness of the ministry.
And
we're thankful for that, because we don't need to hear all how great we are or anything, because we know it's God. And it's his grace that has really given us the ability to not only to do what we're doing, but also to not be haughty or proud or think that we've done anything, because we know it's everything by him. And he started it all, and he can stop it instantly if he wants to. And so we're basically keeping our pedal to the metal as long as he wants us to, and while we're in this world, because this is just a temporary situation, and we want to take as many with us as we can.
I actually feel like sometimes, this may sound odd, but I almost feel like I'm two different people.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm Joyce Meyer, and then I'm Joyce Meyer. it just takes so much grace to do that much work. That it's like it's almost not like you doing. I mean, you are doing it, but God is so involved that you're so aware that if it wasn't him, that there's no way that you could ever pull it off. I mean, like I said, you know, I'm getting tired just listening to us tell everything that we did. And I mean, there's no way to describe how hard we worked, the things we went through. In the midst of that, I had breast cancer, had to have a breast removed, I had a hysterectomy. I couldn't take hormones because of having had the cancer. I went through the change of life early. I had migraine headaches for 10 years. We're raising kids. We're raising teenagers. We're going through all the same stuff that everybody else goes through with their kids. You know, we had kids getting married.
We're hiring 110 people each year. Plus, we're building a building. We're building a building that the building that we're building, you know, in the process of designing the building, I wanted to build so much, the building so big, and then I was going to, making it so I could add a floor onto it and spread the wings out on it. And we're into the plans, almost done with the plans, and I realized we're growing so fast, we've got to build the whole building. Hmm. So we scrapped the plans, and we redraw the plans to do the whole building at one time. We were going to build 75,000 square foot. We ended up building 150,000 square foot at one time right off the bat.
That's a little far away from the 1,700 square feet we were afraid to rent.
Yeah. How will you fill all that space?
That we didn't know how we were going to fill it all up. And Dave did all that building stuff, you know, from working in the engineering field. He was good at all that. And I really didn't I mean, I didn't get involved really in any of that because I was just running all over creation teaching. Of course, he went to everything, you know, that we did. And I just, I had this growing desire in me to help people, help people, help people, help people, help people. And so in addition to all the television, way, way back, like in the very beginning, like 30 years ago, we started setting aside money to help the poor with. God put that in our heart. And so we started even right here in our own city, helping do inner city ministry and contributing to other people that had inner city ministries to, you know, and then we started different missions and got involved with different missionaries, and we would support different people that had different works around the world. And to now, you know, we're involved in, I don't know, probably 150 nations and I don't even know how many different outreaches with orphanages and feeding programs and water wells and schools.
It's such an integral part of the ministry.
Well, it's very, very important. I mean, other than my teaching, that's probably the most important thing to me is just being able to help people. You know, Jesus always, he always taught the word and he helped hurting people. And so you help people with the word, but you also need to help them in a practical way. Like I say, a lot of times many people are hurting so bad that they couldn't even hear the word if you didn't help them first with their practical situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been our great privilege to do what we're doing. I thank God. Very few days go by that I don't thank God for letting me teach the word. And yes, it's been a lot of hard work and probably wanted to give up a million times in the process. And, you know, when you're in the public eye like we are, you get judged, you get criticized, you have, you know, people that aren't so kind, but in the, even with all that, we've met so many amazingly wonderful people whose lives have been changed by the word that, you know, the few who cause you problems are really nothing compared to all the ones that you get to help. And so, you know, our desire is to continue doing what we're doing in some form or fashion until Jesus takes us home. People ask all the time, are you thinking about retiring or when are you going to retire? And I don't know how you retire from a call on your life. It's not like not like having a job, and so now at a certain age you retire. I mean, I just want to do... I mean, we have to make changes. We have to keep making adjustments. You know, can't work as hard as we used to. Don't need to. Don't want to. I always say I don't work harder. I work smarter. And, of course, you know, in the midst, I've written 115 books now. And so... that was another whole work project that was going on in the midst of all these other things is writing all these books. And, you know, I really want to leave 100 big, solid books as a legacy to the body of Christ. And so we're still working on them. And then hopefully out of all the ones that we have, we can, the very best will remain. Because a lot of the books that I read now are 200 and 300 years old, and they've just helped me tremendously. So I hope a long time after I'm gone, if Jesus tarries, that people will still be continuing to read my books.
You do have a lot more time ahead of you. Who knows where God is going to take all this?
Right. Yeah, I'm not quitting or slowing down or, you know.
Yeah, we're still running full throttle. You know, like Joy says, we're not working harder, but smarter. And you learn over a period of time what's the best way to do things to accomplish the most.
Well, it really is that authenticity, I think, that so many people are drawn to in the two of you and in the ministry. Because, I mean, hanging out with both of you is just like hanging out with Lucy and Desi. I mean, you're hilarious for one thing. But you're just yourselves. You're very real.
Yeah.
And you just have a lot of fun in what you do. You guys have a great time.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we've got our own little, you know, after almost 49 years of marriage, you develop your own little method of...
our little quirky method.
Quirky little methods of getting along. And I tell people all the time, I don't know what I'd preach if I wasn't married today, because he gives me an opportunity to apply every message that I've ever preached. And it's amazing the things that people fight about when they're young that you laugh about when you get older. But I do know that it's very important that we remember where we came from and that it is God doing this. I'm very, you know, obviously we work hard and we're partners with God. And I do believe that a lot of people get themselves in trouble because the more successful they become, the more they begin to take liberties that they have no business taking. And one of the things that God has taught me over the years that is extremely important to Him is how we treat people. Mm-hmm. And I know that I fail miserably at times in always treating people the way that I should, but I just think that that really supports the anointing on your life. I think mm-hmm. if God anoints you to do something, if you want to maintain that anointing, you need that to keep the strife out of your life, to be excellent, to walk with integrity, and you really need to walk in love and treat people properly.
Yeah. It's a big part of your legacy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is what I know
sure.
both of you want to leave behind.
Right.
You mentioned the books,
yeah.
leaving that teaching. What else is important to you that you're building now that you want to leave behind for generations to come?
Well, you know, people always ask me, well, what's your vision now? You know, and I think that I'm one of the blessed people that can say I am actually doing what God put in my heart. I feel like that the vision that He gave me is being fulfilled every single day, and I really just want to help more and more people. I really want people to, I always say I want Jesus to be famous, not that He's not, but I want to do my part to
yeah.
make Him more famous, and it's just so important that we represent Him right out in the
right.
world, and to teach people how to do that.
Consistency.
Being a Christian is about so much more than just going to church somewhere on a Sunday morning and then going home and perhaps acting like everybody else out in the world. We do need to realize that we're in the world, but not of it. And that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the world and have fun, but there has to be some sort of a separation between God's people and people in the world. We can't just blend in and act like everybody else. So I love teaching people things about spiritual maturity. I love to teach them that God loves them and about the grace of God and the mercy of God and all those things. But I've always had a bent in my teaching towards spiritual maturity and growing up. And it's just really important to me that I always have a word from God for the place that I'm at. I don't ever just go take a message out of a drawer and go somewhere and teach. I still study really hard for what I'm doing. And so I just want to keep helping people. I just want to keep doing more and more of what I'm doing. Our program is aired now in about 85 different languages, and our son just told us the other day that within another year, it's going to be press on 100, and our books are translated in over 100 languages. And so I'm thrilled about what I see, but I'm even more thrilled about what I don't see, which is more than what I do see. And like Dave said, you know, God gives us enough to keep us encouraged, but not so much that we get full of ourselves. And that's a dangerous thing. You know, we have to really keep in mind that God doesn't share His glory with anybody. And He'll let us work with Him and partner with Him, but God does get all the glory.
Another thing I think is we enjoy the ministry and doing ministry. We enjoy our private life. We enjoy each other. And we enjoy our children.
Right.
You know, every facet of our life we enjoy, and I think that gives you the balance of life, you know, to be able to do that, not just to...
Yeah,
some
important.
People are just stuck in maybe what they do and not the other facets of their life. And each part of their life is important, and if they can yeah. enjoy each part of their life and enjoy each other, especially when people are married, I mean, if they can enjoy each other and allow each other to be themselves, you know, not try and make them something that they don't need to be or you want them to be, but allow them to be themselves.
Dave and I both have a lot of freedom
that.
In our
yeah,
relationship. You know, I'm not a sports person. He goes to a lot of sporting events. He plays a lot of golf. You know, he lets me do the things that I enjoy. You know, sometimes I want to go off somewhere for a week or two by myself just to study and pray and just, you know, sometimes just to be by myself because I am around a lot of people all the time, and he's fine with that. He's not the least bit
yeah.
insecure, and... there's nothing really that we want. We have 11 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, 4 wonderful children, 2 great son-in-laws, and 2 daughter-in-laws, and each other, and we're just pretty happy and content.
Yeah.
Very blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously worked hard. God blessed abundantly. But you had a lot of people behind you also building
oh, yes.
this ministry. Let's talk a little bit about the partners' role that they have had in all of this as well. How important is that? It wouldn't have happened otherwise.
Well, you can't, you know, Joyce Meyer Ministries, my name gets to be on it, but I have my part. I do the teaching, the writing, the preaching, some management stuff, not even as much of that now as I used to. But we've got wonderful leaders in the ministry. We've got our sons who work very hard in the ministry. Both of our son-in-laws work in the ministry, and they do a phenomenal job. I mean, really, our two sons, David and Danny, pretty much run all the day-to-day stuff now, which is so different than the way it was 30, even 20 years ago when we were so involved. But then we have our ministry partners who financially support the ministry. And every one of them is very important, whether they give a small amount every month or a large amount every month. And we need them. We're all partners together in doing everything that we do. And a partner is someone who is part of. And, you know, so you're a part. All these people that they can't see right now that are running all this equipment that's putting this together, they're all a part. You know, all the people who answer the phones are a part. We've got offices in about 15 different countries, and they're all a part. Everybody is a part of doing. So really, I mean, when you think about it, how could it possibly be anything other than God? How could you keep something like this up and running? You know, the Bible says that that God maintains the whole earth. So when you think about it, He keeps everything balanced. You know, and we're just one ministry, but God still has to hold us up and keep everything going, or it just wouldn't work. And so we're very consciously aware of that and appreciate all the partners we have, whether it's somebody who works for us or somebody supports us or somebody prays for us or whatever they do, we're all part of it.
Yeah, each person is an integral part of the ministry. For the ministry to be as huge as it is today and is doing all the things it is doing, with, of course, without the partners, it would be a very small ministry. It would not go very far. The partners actually project the ministry throughout the world, throughout the United States and throughout the world. Without them, the ministry would be, you know, with us just doing meetings and going places and, you know, maybe doing conferences or selling products, we might do 15% of what we're doing today. But the partners that actually project it to the ends of the earth.
And the more partners we have, the more we can do. Mm-hmm. And I pray for that all the time because there are so many people in the world that are hurting.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, our society is so messed up. And it's not just in America, it's basically everywhere. Right. And we need to all bond together and to use the time that we have to really try to help as many people as we possibly can. I mean, there's so much deception and so many false religions and so many people that think they've tried God and He hasn't helped them, and really they've just tried some form of religion that really hasn't brought life to them. And so the word that we're being able to get out through radio, through satellite, through television, through printed material, we're just all very privileged to be part of this.
Yeah.
And when I think about the things that we could be doing, and this is what we get to do, it's pretty amazing. And it is hard work, but it's rewarding hard work. And so I'm anxious to see what all God does in the future. I want to see more miracles and signs and wonders and miraculous things take place. And I'm pleased to be part of whatever God wants to do.